Hello, everyone, and welcome to Success Shorts. I'm Raul Chanel. Today, we're joined by Jordan Montgomery. Jordan is the highly regarded performance coach, keynote speaker, and owner of Montgomery Companies, which provides full-scale performance and mindset coaching for individuals and teams. Now, Jordan has terrific perspective and energy, and we pack a lot into our short time together, from the influences on our mindsets to finding purpose in what you do. I know you're going to get a lot out of this, so I hope you enjoy our time with Jordan Montgomery. Let's go. Jordan, it's so good to have you on, man.
Hey, I'm excited to be here with you, brother.
Definitely. But before we dig into a little bit more about your story, I wanted to start things off very practically. You know, during this really unique time, this COVID period, it's impacted a lot of people in many different ways, both bad and good, I would say. And I wanted to focus on the good for a little bit with you. So I'm curious, what's something that you've picked up during this time that you plan on carrying forward even after things kind of return back to normal, whenever that does happen?
Well, I think for us, it is for sure quality family time. So it's a simple answer, and it's probably an answer that a lot of people can relate to, but I've found that we are back to dinner at the kitchen table, you know, playing board games on the living room floor. We have three young daughters, and for us, we've just really enjoyed making memories with them and going back to the basics, the simple things in life. And my wife and I have this slogan, we want to be respected most by people that know us the best. And for us, it's really allowed us to reflect on that mission, you know, like building memories with our girls and going deeper with them and really getting to know their heart and what they care about, how they're changing and evolving. And so it's been this really beautiful picture, man, of just quality family time. And I want to be mindful as I say that, that it is a time where a lot of people are hurting. We've been fortunate in this season, but I'd say the other thing that I think about is being more compassionate and just more understanding and having more empathy for people around us, because it has been a really difficult time. So those are two things that come to mind as you ask that question.
That's a really beautiful answer. And some people have gone through some pretty difficult periods. And one of the things that you and I are going to talk about in a little bit is about mindset. But I think that having a mindset, even if you are dealing with things that are tough, and I have a couple of friends that they've dealt with stuff that if it actually fell upon me, I don't know how I would handle it, but I would hope that my practice in having a positive mindset would carry forward. But just the intention, I think, is very important for us to kind of grasp onto as we move forward into new phases of our lives, is we had this reset in many ways to think about what's important, and you deliberately thinking about what's important for the girls, what's important for your wife, and letting that being your guidepost going forward, I think is a really wonderful thing, because we had this opportunity to do things with more intention, to do things that are more in line with us if we choose to look at it through that lens. And I hope more people do what you're doing, because we get one go around with this. I mean, depending upon what your faith is, maybe you get more than one, but to do so with that intention, to be there for the girls and to show up for those who are important to you in a very different way and to hear what they need, I think is really wonderful, especially as a dad trying to convey what a man can be for them as they grow up and mature and go through all these stages of their lives. This period here and that acknowledgement is great. So thanks for sharing that. And one of the things that really interested me about you as I was doing a little bit of digging on you is that for being such a young guy, you have been able to harness a maturity and an effectiveness to speak in such an actionable way on topics such as mindset, leadership, teamwork, and a whole bunch of other things that, you know, your elders who appear on stage with you as you're presenting at conferences or whatever it may be. Where did this confidence and ability to be so pragmatic and come off as effortless in this, where did that come from, and how did you foster it up to this point?
Well, first and foremost, it came through a lot of failure and a lot of mistakes. And I believe our greatest lessons are learned in the valley. And so, you know, it's interesting when we get on a podcast like this, you get to talk about the wins and the things that have gone well. But the reality is all of the learning has come through failure. And so I just want to acknowledge that as an entrepreneur, that we have failed so many times and we have made so many mistakes, but we are also the byproduct of a lot of people who've come before us and a lot of people who have poured into us and invested in us. And so I want to give those people a shout out. And I would answer your question by saying that I would like to think have been coachable. And I say we because my wife is my business partner and we have a team. So it's not just me moving this mission forward, but we have a first-class team of people that coaches and does the consulting work. But, you know, I think there's a difference between being coachable and being teachable. Most people are teachable. Not as many people are coachable. In other words, most people are willing to listen to a speaker or they listen to a podcast. You know, maybe they get coached by someone or they're being mentored. And so they'll take notes and they're even willing to apply what they learn, but they forget about the greatest opportunity. The greatest opportunity is not just to absorb the knowledge and apply what you learn. The greatest opportunity is to circle back with the person who taught you and pursue a relationship. And I've been very intentional over the course of my life about pursuing relationships and not just pursuing conversations. So if someone teaches me, whether I hear someone on a stage at a conference or it's a 5-minute discussion with someone I admire and respect, I want to circle back with that person to say, hey, here's what you've taught me. Here's what I learned. Here's how I've been applying what you taught me and the difference it's made in my life. And I wanted to say thank you. And so a lot of things that we've messed up, a lot of things that we haven't done well, I'd say the one thing that I'm proud of over the course of my career is I've taken the time to circle back and pursue relationships. And it's those relationships that have allowed us to grow in our confidence and to move our mission forward and to increase our knowledge.
It's a really interesting step, actually circling back, because I definitely agree with the difference between being coachable and being teachable. So I would say for a majority of my own life, I was teachable, but I definitely was not coachable in certain respects. Like I didn't have that ability, or maybe I didn't learn how to absorb some of that. But then taking it a step further, like you were saying, and actually bringing it back to the person who taught you one thing or another, it's not just a respect thing, but that's just an acknowledgement that you've actually changed in a way.
Well, I think it's also the realization that the person who wants to be coached desires to be a part of the mission and a part of the mentor's legacy.
Mm.
Right? So if I'm coaching someone, I'm more prone to spend additional time and to go deeper if I know someone's doing something with whatever it is that I'm teaching, right? We all would prefer to spend time with people who are taking action and are moving part of our mission forward, right? Because we're teaching them obviously on topics that we care about. And so that's a little thing that goes a long way. And I'll also say this, it's not like I just learned to do that on my own. Again, back to relationships and the people that have gone before me and who have invested in me, I learned to do that through their example. And again, I'm thankful to have mentors who've opened doors to not just new opportunities, but new ways of believing, behaving, and operating.
I'd like to kind of pivot a little bit more about what you do on a regular basis. And you speak about mindset a good amount. And this past year or so, or maybe even prior to that, because we've been polarized for a while, like people have been straight up losing their shit at times, depending upon what we're talking about. If we're talking about Trump, if we're talking about left-wing politics, or maybe it's something more meaningful like social issues or the impact of COVID, like all of these things have different ways in which they impact everybody. But a lot of that comes down to one's awareness or lack of awareness around their own mindset. Why do you think that people have such a big issue with kind of reining things in and focusing on what's controllable versus being so swayed by these sensational forces?
Well, it's interesting you bring this up because many people would say your mental game drives everything in your life. And I think that's true to some degree, but I think it really starts with our environmental game. Your environmental game drives your mental game, and your mental game drives everything else in your life. You know, you think about a conference, right? As an example, if you go to a company conference or an industry conference, and maybe they have a group of keynote speakers who are really inspiring and motivating, and maybe you're watching an award ceremony or whatever it is, and you're really inspired. Your mind is moving in a certain direction. But then all of a sudden you get home from that conference and life hits you. And now you're a week or two removed from the conference And where does your mind go? Your mind goes back to everyday, ordinary things. And so your mental game changed because we took you out of the environment. And so in performance coaching, when we start to talk about mindset, we begin with the environmental game. It's the people, places, and things that habitually show up in your life. And Ed Milet has been a mentor of mine, and I've just learned a lot from Ed about what it means to build the right environment. And I believe that our life is always moving in the direction of our strongest thought, and what comes into our mind comes out in our life. And so we have to be very intentional about what comes into our mind. And that starts with the people, places, and things that we habitually surround ourselves with. So it's that old adage of you'll become like the five people that you spend the most amount of time with. And I think in this season, many of us have not been as aware as we should be about what we're listening to, what we're watching, and who we're hanging out with. And if we're not really intentional about that, we'll naturally move in a negative direction because the media is negative, because so many people are negative, and because 80% of our thoughts are negative, right? If we have 75,000 thoughts a day and 80% of them are negative, that's a lot of negativity rolling around in our brain. And so the way that we fix that is our environment. And that's where it starts, right? There's many ways to fix it. But if we're going to start to fix it, if we want to walk down a path of fixing our mindset, step one has to be build the right environment.
See, I love that we're hitting on this, especially with the whole concept of you're some of the five people that you spend the most time with. And people tend to look at, oh, well, I spend time with my kids, I spend time with my spouse, whoever it is. And it's like, no, those are actually probably further down the list than you might imagine. The people that you're actually spending the most time with, unless you don't have these things in your life, it's probably the internet. It's probably social media. It's probably your work environment, all these different things. And then you have your family and then you have your kids, but they're probably catching the brunt of those top five. So like you're saying, being very intentional about what you're letting in is so important. And I think that's why we really should think about limiting the amount of these outside factors and thinking about the why in all this. Why am I doing all this stuff? And maybe the things that are associated with that, why I should move further up into that group of five that we're actually spending the most time with.
I think you're spot on. I think we forget how social media and even small interactions influences our thinking. And where I would have someone start, if we were going to do this exercise of, you know, where do I start? How do I know who to spend time with? I would have them start with emotional triggers. So whether it's a follow on social media, someone that you're following on social media, or it's someone that calls your cell phone or they text your cell phone, when their name shows up, they trigger something inside of you. And sometimes that trigger is joy, abundance, gratitude. Maybe they cause you to think bigger. Maybe they light you up and they cause you to have more energy. They're the people that you really want to spend time with, and they're forward thinking, future thinking, they're abundant, they're going somewhere. But conversely, we have people that trigger us in the opposite direction, and they trigger feelings of anxiety, or they want to talk about the past, or they want to talk about what's not going well, or they want to complain, or they're inherently negative. And so they trigger us emotionally in a different direction. I would pay attention to the emotional triggers, whether it's the people that you follow on social media, the people that call your cell phone, the people that text you, the people that you spend time with in a group text chat. Because our family is our family. You're going to spend time with your family. And if you have somebody in your family that's negative, then you know you might want to have a conversation, but that might just be something that you have to deal with. But it's a choice. Outside of your immediate family, for the most part, it's a choice. You get to decide who you spend time with and where you spend that time and what you talk about and what you don't talk about. And so I think intentionality around environment, beyond just the relationships, you're spot on. Paying attention to what we look at on social media, the television that we decide to absorb, all of that plays into our environment.
We're going to kind of go into back to that concept of why, because when it's all said and done, we all have a purpose. Whether we identify it or not is one thing. But if we can identify that purpose, then we're able to make better decisions about, you know, what we let in from an environmental standpoint and stuff like that. But it is very tricky because a lot of people haven't done the work to really understand the why in their own lives. Why is understanding one's purpose so important? And from a coaching standpoint, how do you use your understanding of someone's why to help them then start to drive the changes that they're seeking?
Two things. I'd start with values before goals and who before what. So I want to set my values before I set my goals. And I want to start with who I want to become before I decide what I want to do. And where I think a lot of us go wrong is we start to set our goals without being grounded in our values. And we start to focus on what we want to accomplish before we ask ourselves the question, who do I want to become? When our values are clear, our decisions are easy. And if we're not careful, our goals can actually take us to a place that we never intended to go if our values are not clear. So I think we have to begin with the end in mind. And when people are struggling with making the right decisions, if they're struggling with time management, if they're struggling with priorities, it often stems from a lack of clarity. You know, most of us struggle to say no. I deal with a lot of high-level sales professionals, a lot of executive leaders that really struggle with the word no. No is a complete sentence. You know, we remind people of that. Like, to me, what makes top performers really impressive, it's not all of the things that they do. It's actually all the things that they don't do. It's the things that they say no to. It's the environments they stay away from, the food they don't eat, the television they don't watch. It's their no. And as we grow and mature, we don't mature with our yes. I think we actually mature with our no. But that starts with being really clear about what you're saying yes to. So I would say those two things is we have to set our values before we set our goals. And we have to ask the question, who do I want to become before I start to answer what do I want to accomplish? And that goes way beyond business, right? It's who do you want to become as a parent? Who do you want to become as a spouse? Who do you want to become as a significant other if you're not married or you don't have a family? Who do you want to become as a son, as a friend, as a community leader? One of our mantras is, I want to be a family man with a business, not a businessman with a family. So if I'm going to set my values first, if I'm going to ask the question, who do I want to become before what do I want to accomplish? It has to start with my role as a father and as a spouse, because those are the two most important roles in my life. And candidly, those are the two roles that I'll have in my life that nobody else will ever have. You know, somebody else will be the CEO. Someone else will be the coach. Someone else will be the mentor. But my role as a dad, that's the only leadership role in my life that no one will ever have but me. And you could say the same thing about being a spouse. So, you know, it's begin with the end in mind. It's get clarity. It's begin with who, and it's get really clear on your values.
Clarity is only possible when you're able to really manage all the other noise. And you spoke about that. But, you know, as people, we do tend to make things far more complicated than we have to. It's easy when, you know, it's me and you just talking on a podcast to say, you know, here's some of those things that you could be doing. But if we're actually going to put this out practically for folks, for the people who are listening, who may have lost a job, may have gone through really difficult times, that have had multiple struggles in a row where they aren't coming from it from the most healthy mindset, but they want to get there. I want to leave them with something big. What is your purpose? That's a big freaking question. And it can be intimidating. I think the search for man's search for purpose, pretty sure there's thousands of books that have been written over time as far as how to pursue that. But I don't think it has to be that arduous. So for those listening, how can we simply distill a way to get through the noise, to get through the negativity that some people are going through, to try to shape a mindset of identifying that purpose and then starting to put in place steps that they can follow to get to where they want to go?
I believe clarity tied to purpose begins with going really small. You know, most of us struggle with the productivity and moving forward because we're trying to do too much, right? We believe that success and productivity and purpose means that we juggle nine balls at one time. Productivity and purpose actually starts with going small. And going small means that we realize not all things matter equally, and it's figuring out what matters most. And to your point, it's a tighter connection between why you do what you do. And here's a question from the book, The One Thing, written by Gary Keller. And I think this is a fascinating question. It's a big question, but the answer to this question in so many ways will help you with your purpose and, more importantly, taking action. You can apply this question to different areas of your life. So you can apply it to your fitness. You can apply this to your job. You can apply this to the way that you spend time with friends. You can apply it to your finances. But here's the question. What is the one thing I could do such that by doing it would make everything else easier or unnecessary? What is the one thing I could do such that by doing it would make everything else easier or unnecessary? So what is the one thing I can do in my fitness or with my health? What's the one thing I could do with my finances? What's the one thing I could do in my job? I'm not going to focus on 9 things. Now, ultimately, I need to work on many things over the course of my career or over the course of my health journey. But where am I going to start? What's the one thing? I want to pick one thing and I want to dominate at that space. So maybe, for example, the one thing is going to bed at a certain time. And it's like, wow, you know what? When I'm in bed by 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock, whatever that time is, I get the right amount of sleep. When I get the right amount of sleep, I naturally have time to work out. When I have time to work out, I feel better. When I feel better, I act better. Right? It affects every part of my life. You know, I don't know what it is, but it's what is the one thing that I could do such that by doing it would make everything else easier or unnecessary? That is a great place to start. It's simple, it's practical, and it's life-changing if you can do it daily.
It's one of those things where if you identify that one thing and you start to act on it and it becomes something that's just part of who you are, that's positive momentum. And that'll lead to, okay, I got the one thing down. What's the next thing? And if you do these small steps, then before you know it, it's not only has it changed your life from that first thing, but it's allowed you to take on like those bigger goals, to really strive to that purposeful life that we're all hoping to lead that much more in our grasp. Again, I started this off by talking about how young you were and the wisdom and actionable things that you share. And just in this short time that we've had together, you've done nothing but reinforce that. So Jordan, this was very motivating. I have some things that I'm going to take away from this. It was also a lot of fun getting to know you. And I just want to thank you so much, man.
Well, I want to say thanks to you for having me on. Thanks for the opportunity just to spend time in conversation. And I admire the work that you're doing. And I plan to stay in touch and watch you move that mission forward for many years to come. So thank you for making the time. Thanks for who you are and what you do.
Jordan, thank you. Those kind words, I really appreciate it. And that's all we have for this episode of Success Shorts. Hopefully you found today's topic useful. And remember, have fun. Stay curious and keep it short.